Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. It's the show from the British Tech Network that deals with all things Macintosh, and we've got a huge panel with us today to discuss the lull after the storm of last week. And we'll talk a little bit about the storm as well, because there's a couple of people here who've had a play, and I'm not going to be talking to them much during the day, though, however. Top left, Don McAllister, back from his sojourn. How you doing, mate?
Good afternoon, Ewan. Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Yeah, busy as usual, but it's good. But you move on if you want, if you don't want to talk to me. That's okay, it's fine.
So, I'm not bothered about the fact you've got a Retina MacBook Pro, mate. What I'm bothered about is you did your frigging unboxing, but not on our show.
Well, the thing is, there's lack not much restraint. To unbox, to be honest. They're very samey now, these unboxings, aren't they? Because you just get this solid, big honking computer, and then underneath there's a power cable, so yeah, it's not really much for people to see, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, yeah, okay.
So someone did do an unboxing of the little mini adapter, didn't they? The new power adapter that comes in a tiny box. I think someone did an unboxing of that,
lovely.
$10 done. I think it was done tongue-in-cheek, but no, I decided not to do an unboxing. I was too...
So come on then, how is it?
No, it's beautiful, lovely machine. Yeah, really, really nice. Very fast. I've just done some quick comparisons with my old Mac. So I've got a Mac Pro 8 core, but it's a 2008 one. And I just did some quick encoding tests, and it actually outperforms that, as you might expect, because it's quite an old machine, that one now. The screen itself is gorgeous. The screen is very, very nice.
I did some quick comparisons. It's finished, and the other computer's still comparing.
No, it wasn't quite that dramatic, but it shaved a good 3 minutes off a 20-minute encoding job.
Is Ewan about to go greener than the Hulk? Yes. You wouldn't like me when I'm jealous. Angry. There we go. Next to Don, it's the man who bets with other people's money. Mr. Kyle Swagger.
That's my New Year's resolution mid-year. Never bet again.
Never bet again. Not on advice from your cousin. How you been, mate?
No. Oh, it's good. It's been a really, really busy week. NBA finals are over. Miami Heat won. Break time for good. A week.
Have a holiday, mate. Yeah. Come to the bash. Go on. You can do it.
I can't.
If you start traveling now, you'll make it in time.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll get the boat.
Yeah. The junk. Next to him, it's inglorious, glorious Retina, Mr. Blue Eyes himself, Chris Forsman. Look at that, no interlacing.
Yeah, hello.
How is that MacBook Pro with Retina display?
This 15 inches too big for me. It's too big for what I need, but the screen is awesome.
You're smooth, dude. Your video is smooth. You're in focus. There's no interlacing. You actually moved your head there, and it moved rather than being a series of stills. And here's us blaming Comcast, and it's not. It's just your POS MacBook.
Well, now... Comcast is the reason for the dropped connections. That was the problem that I personally had. Now, the crappy video, I'm willing to blame on the MacBook Air.
Well, dude, unless this drops a connection, I think that one's blown out of the water.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Next to him, Greeny. How you doing, mate?
Ah, hello, senor.
Will Green from British Mac. Recently recorded, I gather.
Was I?
Yeah, no, you've done some recordings for us, haven't you?
Oh, yes, I have, yes, for the app.
How did they go?
Well, I think they sound pretty good.
Jolly good. Now, what we've done is the Green app is being updated. It's going up into the store. We've got, it's been sent for authorization, but what's going to happen is that the Green app that you can get that times things is going to have Will making noises when you punch him.
There is some dialogue as well, thank you very much. It's not just noises.
Apparently, I've talked to Andy Vaughan, Fixer.net, has made the application for us. Fantastic. Please go and get a Geek Badge, because there's going to be a prize at the Bash for Geek Badge, by the way. We'll talk about that in a minute. But He says that the noises were brilliant. You've pulled out a real stopper there, mate. Well done. Now then, there is a catch. You're going to have to pay for this. It's an in-app purchase, and there will be money that you're required to give, but every penny that goes from it is going to go to Will's favourite charity. There won't be anything going in the coffers of Andy or us. So, Will, where's it going?
It's going to willgreenscharity.com.
Will Green's Retina Display.
Yes, fun. That's right. Buy Will Green a Retina Display.
Oh, bugger.
NSPCC. NSPCC, it all goes to.
National, which stands for something to do with children. National something to do with children.
Society of Protection of Cruelty to Children.
Yes.
So it's a really worthwhile charity, I think.
Right, so it's £1.49. It's a tier two stage, just so that we can get a bit more money for them. And at the end of that, however much you've got, we'll give that amount to the NSPCC, and they'll get every penny of it. So please, please, please download the Green app, the Green Counter, and download the in-app purchase, and all the money will go to them. Promise. Nothing will stay here. If we could sell, I mean, we're trying to get it through an authorization before the bash, and then we can kind of get everyone to buy it, and we can give you a running total and have like a Blue Peter accumulator thing going on. That'd be really cool.
That'd be really good, wouldn't it?
We'll have a blue. Well, like, we'll do that on page one. We'll have a Blue Peter accumulator for green app purchases for the NSPCC. And last, but by absolutely no means least, it's the tipster himself, sponsored by TechSmith. Gazmaz, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing very well. I'm actually sponsored by Foster's this afternoon.
No, you're still sponsored by TechSmith, trust me.
I'd like to say, actually, to Don, that my last purchase from Apple, I did a reverse because I sold the Apple iPad 1, the original iPad, and I did a boxing rather than an unboxing. That. Yeah. And also, I don't believe that is Chris Forsman. I think it's that barman guy.
It is. It's Matt the barman from Paddington. Oh, sorry, Marylebone Station. Matt the barman, definitely.
So, no, I'm doing well. Thank you.
We need to make sure we're very, very happy with TechSmith as well, because TechSmith have now officially sponsored the bash. They've given us all the money for all the beer and a pig roast and all the food. And absolutely everything. So Betsy Weber will be here from TechSmith, and she will be picking Gaz up on his tips and use of Camtasia 2, which...
Yeah, she won't, because I can't be there.
And he's not going to be there. And it's all free. But TechSmith have sponsored the whole bash, so please listen to what they've got to say. And Gaz's tips are all via TechSmith, because they gave him a copy of Camtasia 2 so he could mention it as well.
It's been updated this week as well.
It has. And in fact, actually, that's one of the good things. We're going to be doing a huge kind of launch, if you like, of the two new products. There's two new products coming out from there. So keep an ear tuned, definitely. And Mr. Anatko is, yes, coming to the bash. That's absolutely true, chat room. I've got to send him some money for some plane fare, but he will be here. He's coming in on the Sunday, I think. He's got a bit of sightseeing to do, but...
No, Hatko.
Couple of reviews that have come in. Susan Devine, thank you very much for your review, Susan. It's very kind. She's put, I'm a new listener to the podcast, catching me in the last few weeks, and I'm so impressed. The content is set perfectly between the Twit Network and those on 5x5, but the irreverence of the presentation means that the temptation to hit the two times button is not given into. Will Green adds a Carl Pilkington-style contrast to the fanboy entertainment and the tendencies of the other contributors. And anything featuring Andy Yetter gets my vote. How do you think to that, then, Carl? He's speechless.
I don't have anything to say.
No, his audio's dropped out. No, yeah, no.
No. Hello?
No.
Greeny?
You said Kyle.
Carl.
You said, what do you think?
No, Carl Pilkington. What do you think of that, Greeny?
Oh,
he wasn't even listening.
I think we're intellectual giants among our class. It's very, very nice of you, isn't it?
He is. And Gaz Cruxy has sent one in as well, saying, enjoyable, fun, entertaining, informative, and generally a good listen. My only gripe is the occasional comment by a Mr. Will Green that takes the often intellectually stimulating conversation well off topic and on some random and unwelcome tangent.
What podcast is he listening to, then? Intellectual
Hear that?
Chat? Both ends of the extreme will, you must be hitting it absolutely perfect.
Oh, I love the fact that Greeny gets something that says that he's off on a tangent that's completely opposed to everything else we're saying, and he focuses on the bit that's nothing to do with him, the intellectual conversation.
Where's keep the intellectual up, conversation? I would have been a part of that.
One thing I will say is that the tangents that you bring to this are what make this show. Absolutely.
I can do intellectual.
This Where's show me? Is woven tangents.
Where's my dummy's guide to Bertrand Russell? That's what I need.
The Week in Apple. There has been a Week in Apple. Apparently, Tweetbot is coming for the desktop, which we'll have a chat about in a second. But, oh, please, 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 please. Drobo has got a Thunder Chicken interface, and it's got a mini. Is the mini thing under Thunder Chicken as well, Don?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh! Yes. Which takes four 2.5-inch drives. And it's also got a bigger one that goes in with your Thunderbolt on your beautiful display stuff. There is... allegedly, a confirmation of the fact that Apple has got a 19-pin connector. So that video that we saw the other week of the supposed micro USB, which isn't, is true. And the gentleman here, who's a bit Avenue Q for me, I have to say, is a happy Apple employee because they're getting $500 off Macs and $250 off iPads in their discount program. I want to know if they're paying tax on that, because they bloody should. Not fair. Where should we start? Tweetbot.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Freaking awesome. I mean, what else can you say?
Hands up, who likes Tweetbot?
Me. I don't know what it is. What is it?
Oh, yeah.
Tweetbot, it's your iOS device, and it's a Twitter client, but it's just done better. It clicks when you touch it, and it you know, it goes bloop when it gets a new tweet.
It's the best.
It is.
It's the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have
spent $5, if I spent $5 on something, you know it's good.
You guys are almost persuading me because I use Ecophon.
Ecophon's a piece of crap.
It's not even that.
It's a two-year-old piece of crap.
Ewan, say what you think, please.
It's a two-year-old piece of crap.
Here's the thing. Tweety was awesome.
Yeah.
Then Twitter bought it, and now it's garbage.
Yeah.
Lauren Bricker doesn't even work on it anymore. And it's just gotten... I mean, there's a verifiable, repeatable bug that's been in there for almost a year.
So what are you talking about?
Look, Ecophone's this like the 1970s. It will come back into fashion one day.
There's two good things to do with Tweetbot, and that's one's the iCloud synchronization, so that it knows where you're up to. You know, it knows, it has pointers whereby, you know, when you've read messages and when you've read tweets, and when you go from the iPad to the iPhone, it synchronizes your position in your Twitter stream. So that's great.
Have you got a screencast on how to do that, Don? Because I'm
yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Good man. I'll have to look that out.
I've got a Tweetbot one. But the other big thing is the muting and filtering. So you can actually if someone, you know, sometimes happens someone in your Twitter stream goes off somewhere and they start ranting about something, or they're raving about something, and you get a bit fed up with them. You can just mute them for a day, or mute them for a week, or mute them forever if you want. You don't want to unfollow them. And then if there's a conference going on that you don't want to know about, you can mute out that hashtag. And you can now even mute out keywords as well. So you can make up, you know, individual words. You can actually mute those out of your Twitter stream as well. Really, really handy.
But are you saying not then, Chris? Are you the prosecution counsel here?
No. Let's bring it on.
Right, so we're a Tweetbot lover.
Yeah.
Good man. I thought you were.
I've been personally begging Paul Haddad since I started using Tweetbot on my iPhone.
He is, I mean, it is easily the best application out there for Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it must be close now, because they've leaked a screenshot, haven't they? And they've been using it for test and development, so it must be quite close to its release.
Well, there's kind of a sketch. Well,
these screenshots, I think, are mock-up.
No, there's actually someone took a photograph of it on his computer display.
Oh, really?
We actually saw it live. Yeah,
I have got a picture of that. It took me a second.
Can I just say that Ecophone has been able to synchronize for a long time, and I can mute in Ecophone as well.
Yeah, it doesn't look as nice though.
you're all about the looks, aren't you? Just comb your hair and it's yours. That's what you're saying to me, isn't it?
No, but after an hour, it would make a sane bloke want to stab his grandmother. It's just...
I like stabbing my grandmother.
No, don't say that on air. Good God. Oh. Good God, you've crossed the line there, Gaz.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be used.
Oh, what's that?
We got a title, right? However, fellas, don't worry. There's a picture. That's a picture, apparently, of the McCoy.
I saw a different one, a side shot from the side, which was an actual live. Yeah, I've not seen that one before.
I think I hear Gaz's phone ringing. I think it's Tech Smith.
So, Will, have you bought it yet or not?
Well, to be honest, I just had a quick look on the App Store, but I couldn't find it.
Tweetbot. Get the one with the bird with a trumpet for a mouth. Don't get the other one because it's crap. I bought that one first by mistake, and it was $2.99 and all.
You know, I use the Twitter app on my Mac, which I think is the official one, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And that, which I've never liked it.
But it's crap.
I've never liked it.
It's awful, but it's just not as bad as the rest.
So why is everybody bigging up Sparrow as an email client, which looks to me exactly the same?
No, Twitter, dude. Twitter client.
No, Sparrow.
This is another
tangent. I think he's on one of his tangents.
Hey, here we go. Go on.
Yeah.
I'm with him. You keep going, Will.
I'll win, yeah.
Come on, mate. Carry on, then.
No, what I'm saying is the interface to Twitter on the Mac,
yeah,
you know, the actual application.
Okay, so you're saying the interfaces are similar. The Twitter interface is similar to the Sparrow interface.
Virtually exactly.
Although
the same,
one does Twitter and one does email. Yes, I get you that. That's fine. Oh, it does.
I
know the developers of both apps.
Yeah.
And the Sparrow guys absolutely 100% admit that they were inspired by the original, you know, Tweety 2 for Mac.
Well, you wouldn't admit that normally, would you?
Well, the thing is, Lauren Brichter actually joined went in with them as an advisor. Because they did say they liked the application. They liked the, because it was pretty unique at the time. Tweety, I know it's been replicated many, many times now, but at the time it was quite original. And they copied it and they brought him on board as either as member of the board or as an advisor or something similar. So he's involved with it now. I don't know if he still is, but he was involved with Sparrow for a while.
He's helped them
awful though. I mean, if you're gonna
ideas, if you're gonna like that too.
Sorry,
so it's gone then, Will. What are you saying?
I was going to say, it's bloody awful. If you're going to copy anything, why copy something like that?
I agree. I mean,
let's find the worst design UI and we'll copy that, shall we? And yeah, we'll pay the bloke who made it.
The Tweety UI isn't bad. The problem is with the app that other apps have far surpassed it in features. It's not that the UI in general is bad. It's just that Twitter has just sat on it. For like a year.
It is bad. It's terrible.
They haven't even fixed bugs in it. Like, I have a crashing bug that happens all the time when you use a little minulet to switch from one account to another when the app becomes active, and it just crashes every time. Every time it's repeatable.
I've got to say, I don't like the Twitter application, but since they've balked TweetDeck. TweetDeck was awesome. Loved TweetDeck. Wonderful with multiple accounts. Now it's just a bag of hurt. Twitter is the only decent one that deals with multiple accounts.
It's a bag of crap.
And it's still crap. I want Tweetbot. I desperately want Tweetbot. Please, please, please.
Even if it's $10, I'd get it.
Oh, $100. Look at that. I really want. Okay. I want lifetime support.
Wait a minute.
And lifetime updates for that. Tweet. But I'd pay for it happily because it's crap. Oh, yeah. Stop going on about Ekafon. Ekafon is Sarah, can you boot anyone that mentions Ekafon from the chat room, please? I'm not having that.
I like Ekafon. Hang on a minute. I've just got a phone call. Gran, I was joking. Don't worry about it, Gran. I was joking. All right? It's all right. It's sorted now.
Oh, Grant's gone. I tweet. Sarah's... Oh, Sarah's done what I said. Never mind. You know,
I hate to bring this up. I hate to bring this up because I asked
then don't.
You. And okay, great. That settles that then. Thank you. Talk some sense into me.
Go for it. Go on.
Are we going to mention? I know it's a Mac show, but we've had a bit of competitions that people are telling us come in this week with the Surface. Is anybody going to touch on that?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. I guess you want to talk about it now, then, Kyle. Yeah, now you've had enough of this.
No, I haven't had enough of it. I was just going to ask, is that a topic that we're going to talk
right,
about?
Right, let's get this finished with once and for all. All those in favour of Tweetbot, say aye.
Aye.
All those in favour of Ekafon say aye.
Aye.
Right, motion carried. Tweetbot's lovely. Ekafon sucks. Moving on then.
use ScreenFlow from now on.
Microsoft has officially released the competition for the iPad. Allegedly, we did talk about this a little bit last night on the Big Show, and it's. I feel it's a bit harsh because we stopped the Big Show from saying anything Apple because of the fact that otherwise we'd have subtle to say here. And here we are. We've talked about it last night, and I don't want to have a repeat of what went on this Christmas night. I thought this looked fantastic. It looks very, very good. I know that's a fake screenshot because I do those myself. But I love the idea of the little pad that's got the keyboard built into it. No one's had a play with it. No one knows that you can actually type properly on it. And no one's actually had a go with the tablet itself. But I got to say, this... I mean, it's going to... I think more than take on the iPad, they're probably going to piss off their own partners more than anything. But... I mean, is this a credible threat?
Well, here's the thing about the partners. They've been sucking balls.
Can we have a vote whether I need to bleep that or not?
I don't know. I'm comfortable with it.
Honestly. Well, we've had teabagging before, haven't we, on Worlds Apart? So I think, okay, right. So go on then.
Okay,
carry on, Chris, as you were.
They've been cocking up.
Can we have a vote whether I need to bleep that or not?
No. It's very British, very British. Go on.
Go on, Chris. Don't say another word. Just get to your point.
But yeah, I mean, the point is, like, you know, the people making Windows tablets haven't done anything good. And if Microsoft wants their OS to be taken seriously as a tablet OS, it's up to them to show them how it's done. And if their partners can't compete with that, then that's their problem. That's the partner's problem. It's not Microsoft's problem.
Well, I thought it was quite inspired because what they've instantly got is the tablet brag of all time, isn't it? I mean, no one else is going to touch them with it, which is as comes in 10-inch and 4-foot. Because they've got the big, they got the big one as well, haven't they?
How they renamed that though? That's not the Surface anymore.
Oh, it's not. Oh.
No.
What's it called?
The Pixel Clear or something, or it's some other it's some other weird and wonderful name. But no, the tablet stroke PC is now the Surface.
Well, it's pretty good because they've carried on. I mean, a lot of people liked the Surface as was the 4-foot table, didn't they? They always said, wow, this is great. Why can't this be a commercial product? And it never really was. A couple of hotel chains picked it up and things like that. But everyone said it was good. And this goes back to a conversation we've had a little while ago. You know, Microsoft's subtext is great ideas done badly. And the Surface was exactly that. It was a fantastic idea. Everyone that used one that I'd spoken to said it was great. That was about three people. And it just was never, it was just never done well. It was never pushed out. It was never a commercial product. And it would have sold. Commercial environments would have bought that. Imagine going into a customer or going into a business that did manufacturing, and you could sit while you were waiting for your meeting and you could spin their components around and look at it and you could do all sorts of things with it, and they just did nothing with it.
This will sell in its droves to Microsoft executives, you know, or companies.
That's about 150 people then.
Sorry. Let me rephrase that. Not to Microsoft executives, but companies that use Microsoft products. The executives in those companies, this will sell in droves to them if they haven't already got an iPad.
So this that's pure enterprise market strategy.
I think so. I mean, they'll sell a few to the outside of the enterprise industry, but I'm not sure that they'll sell them quite in the quantities that the iPad sells. But into the enterprise, I think that's where it start.
I think there's a huge benefit here too for the fact you've got a native version of Office, that runs on this from day one. I mean, there are a lot of apps for the iPad that are, you know, Office compatible, even iWork. You know, but there are limitations. There are issues, you know, shuffling files around to some degree.
Keep talking, fellas. I've got a delivery.
Will do.
Don't you just love it how the host makes us run the show?
Mm-hmm. Go. Well, Chris, so carry on with your point.
Yeah.
Chris. I think I agree with you that in the enterprise, this is definitely going to be a big deal. And I think we're going to see... one of two things are going to happen here. Now, the fact is, the iPod or the iPad is the tablet market as it stands. Will Microsoft keep Office off the iPad to the benefit of their own platform, or will they finally bring, you know, a version of Office to the iPad?
I think that, you know, depends,
and address
on
that huge market.
Yeah, I think that depends on how many sell. If they don't sell enough, then they'll finally realize that to make some money, they'll start putting Office onto the iPad. But I mean, they like to, you know, mix up the market a little bit with bringing out two versions. That's what threw me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think both versions, you know, are, I mean, one version is basically like a netbook mini. You know, it's got an Intel processor. It's a little bit thicker and heavier. It's got that, you know, more of a real keyboard and trackpad for it. Then you've got the really thin ARM version, which has the little flat, you know, supposedly, I guess it's like a touch keyboard kind of thing that rolls out on that cover. I mean, that idea is, it's really smart. It's really cool. It's definitely going to attract some customers. You know, they're definitely hedging their bets by having an Intel and an ARM version. You know, there's definitely going to be appeal to the enterprise. The thing's going to sell. There's no question about it.
Yeah, definitely.
I think what's going to hurt more than anyone is, you know, things like the Kindle. And absolutely, I mean, the Playbook already kind of killed itself. But, you know, it's going to kill, I think, any chance of anyone else having serious inroads against Apple.
As long as it brings some sort of advantages which keep Apple on the toes, then good. But I had a conversation with someone who said, yeah, but Apple don't need keeping on their toes. They keep themselves on their toes. So, you know, is there true competition to the iPad ever anyway?
See, I don't think it is an iPad competitor. I don't think it's positioned that way. I mean, I still, until they come out with the availability and also the pricing of it, you know, you can't really position it correctly. I mean, they did say it's going to be comparable, at least the Pro version, the Intel version is going to be comparable to, you know, did they say higher end notebooks, ultra notebooks? And they're not cheap. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see how they position it. Definitely for the corporate world. I mean, I think it's ideal for the corporate world, but it's certainly not a consumer level product. Even the smaller one, I don't see as a consumer level product. But, I mean, you know, we've got to see it out and about. I don't know how much it's going to be priced, etc.
My thought on the Pro product was the fact that the long term goal possibly is to give you something which is PC. It is a full working inverted commas desktop. But they haven't worked it out on price, they haven't worked it out on tech yet. But I think that the reason that they've separated the RT and the Pro is the fact, not just the processors, but the fact that they're actually looking to the long-term goal is, and maybe they've taken Apple at heart here, because Apple have said the desktop is dead. They've said, right, okay, well, in that case, let's kill it off early and make our own tablet.
I think the really interesting thing is that they have decided to do both, you know, because historically they've always just made the software and relied on their partners. But, you know, I suppose in some respects, Apple can say, look, we told you so. The only way to make a stellar product is to own both the software and the hardware and to bring it together so you've got full control of the whole device. Now, there's also still the ecosystem at the back end as well they've got to get a handle on. But, you know, I think it's pretty telling that they've had to make some desperate moves to sort of do this and to move away from the partners and do the whole kit and caboodle themselves. It's quite a sea change for Microsoft, really.
There's a great point here from sorry, go ahead, Carl.
No. Go ahead and make the point. Then I'll.
There's a great point here from Peter in the chat room. He's saying there is no tablet market. There's an iPad market. So the reading between the lines of that statement is the fact that the tablet market is non-existent to an effect. So what you have to create is a different path. You have to strike out on something which is, yes, the form factor is tablet, but the actual application is different entirely than something that the iPad cannot achieve, cannot take on. You've got to carve out your own niche, if you like. Is that fair to think that this is a hell of a leap for Microsoft, that they've actually thought that far ahead and they really have tried to carve out a niche for it?
No, but I think that's exactly what they've done with this thing. I mean, first and foremost, they took the leap, which Google didn't. They're making their own. They're pulling an Apple. They're making their own software. They're making their own hardware for this thing.
I mean, this thing is significantly more powerful than a Chromebook. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's only just gone to a Celery processor, hasn't it? So,
yeah, and I guess there's that talk about some unveiling of a tablet next week. You know, I think it's going to be a 7-inch or something, or, you know, that's what the rumors are saying. But the point is, when I looked at this, I actually thought this isn't a Microsoft product. And I don't know why on earth Apple didn't think about trying to do at least an accessory for us to give us the keyboard with the with the slip cover as a keyboard. It's ingenious.
It's great.
And I've been looking for that from Apple for almost a year now. Something that makes you go, "Ooh, okay, that's different."
Yeah, the thing is with Apple though is it goes against the culture of how they're trying to position the iPad. You know, right. They're trying to position it not as a PC replacement, as a device in itself. And the third party market has actually come out with lots of keyboards. I mean, the Logitech have just brought out that keyboard, which is a cover as well. So they are available. It's just I think Apple couldn't do that because I think that muddies the message. You know what they're trying to say. iPad is it's a touch device that you can type on and you know that's how it's positioned. So
I agree with
it's
that.
It's almost like admitting if they did a cover like that with a keyboard, it's almost like admitting touch keyboards aren't good enough.
Yeah. No, their touch keyboard isn't good enough. That's what they're admitting, possibly.
And it is. I've got to say, I've got an external keyboard for my iPad, and I more often than not, I end up just using the one that's on screen for speed of because you've got to, you know, if you've got it switched off, you've got to pair it, you've got to charge it, you know, and that's a pain in the arse. Definitely.
I think Chris's original point about the fact that they're holding on to Office on it is the key point. That's going to be the pull for people to buy it. But there's so many people that still rely on Office, Microsoft Office.
And of course, Microsoft have got a fantastic track record of hardware.
Well, they do have a pretty good track record.
No, you can't have Xbox 360.
Yeah, Xbox 360.
There's plenty of Microsoft mice out there, isn't there?
It cost £3 billion, didn't it? The Xbox 360 with all the faults they had on it, etc.
There's even more in landfill.
It was just said in the chat room, the Zune.
In India.
It was just, they took it right out of my mouth.
Anyway, Ewan, you didn't want to talk too much about this product.
The Zune pad. No, it's only because I had to answer the door.
Well, now, the problem with the Zune is it sucked from the get-go, so it never gained much momentum. But that last device, that was a Zune HD or something they released, was pretty decent hardware.
Mm. But it was a dead name.
Right.
That was a classic example of branding.
Right. At that point, nobody cared because the Zune meant just, you know.
You shove a stake in the heart of your brand, forget it. Rebrand.
Now, and that's the thing. I don't think they did well with the name on this either. I think everything looks great about it. But I think, once again, I think Microsoft dropped the name when it came to naming it Surface.
Yeah. The really strange thing. Has anybody actually watched the whole presentation? Because it was a really strange presentation.
With Ballmer.
but they didn't. Woo! And again, I saw a blog post or a tweet from someone who said, you know, it's really surprising that Microsoft, you know, they've been in business for 30 years selling software and software applications. And yet during that keynote, they didn't even show a single thing running on it. And when they did try to show something, it froze up and they had to get another one. So they were just showing you the you know, a dead machine, basically, just a slate.
Yeah, no one has played with any of these things, have they? They've not had a go with it, they've not typed it, they've not swiped with it, they've not touched it. There's been no interaction with it from journalists at all.
Yeah, so it's all very rare. And I presume it's been rushed because of the Google I.O. conference that's on next week, so they wanted to get something out before.
I gather they sent one to Mossberg, but he drilled a hole in it, so.
I got a related story.
Off you go, tangent boy.
No, not gonna. I wouldn't want to interrupt this intellectual conversation with some meaningless, unwelcome tangent. But we're talking about Microsoft Office, and it's not on the iPad. And, you know, Google are pushing the cloud thing in a big way. So it's sort of their docs and app stuff. And sneakily, they have bought probably the biggest or most popular Microsoft Office equivalent for the iPad, QuickOffice. So Google have bought QuickOffice. Look at that.
Google Docs and the packages on Google Docs actually work pretty well. I mean, we use them every week. Why would they buy QuickOffice unless I can't think that QuickOffice have got anything other than they haven't got anything that's iCloud integrated. That's
it's offline, isn't it?
Quick impulse buy.
Now that they're looking for an offline solution for the iPad,
right?
That can, because they've released Google Drive. That's been out sort of a month-ish, hasn't it? And the idea with Google Drive is you could, for instance, use Microsoft Word on your computer if you're on the train or something like that, and save it to your Google Drive, so you haven't got any internet connection, and then when you get back into an internet connection, it'll synchronize and convert the Word document and synchronize it to the cloud and convert it to Google's format. And this, I think, is going to be the same for the iPad. I thought it was quite an interesting purchase. So if you're looking to buy Quick Office, I probably wouldn't, because knowing Google, they'll release it for free.
Ooh. There's a point in the chat room from Super Chicken. He says, why does Barmer remind me of Uncle Fester? To which Cyberpool has replied, because he looks like Uncle Fester.
Simple, but true.
State the obvious.
He does look like Uncle
Drobo Fester. Have released two products with Thunder Chicken on them.
Hang on a bit.
What? Go on. What do you want? Sorry, mate. Go on.
When I bring up this, I thought, intellectually stimulating on-topic diversion, I get silence from you lot, and then you just move on.
It didn't.
No, I asked you why.
It didn't stimulate us, Will.
I asked you why, and all you said was you were going to get it for free, so why bother? But I didn't get an answer as to why. You ignored my point, my question.
No, I didn't.
Why have Google bought it, then, Will?
I told you. To offer an offline Google Docs solution for iPad.
But nothing that Google does is about offline. Everything that Google does is about online.
No, it's not. It's not. That's the point I'm making.
Name one thing that Google have done online, offline.
Offline Google Docs, for one.
They haven't done
offline it. Offline Google Calendar. They have.
They haven't.
They have.
With the Google Drive, they have, actually, on the Windows platform, where you can download the software into the Windows machine, put it on your desktop, and then you just drag and drop everything into it.
Yeah,
and it syncs with the cloud.
Yeah, but that's they don't do anything for the purposes of remaining offline. There's no offline storage per se, is there?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah,
they don't do. Shut up, Granny. Just as a point here. Offline to me is I have a package which operates solely on my computer and does not rely on my ever connecting to the internet. That's not what Google do. Google are always looking for internet connection. They're always looking for sync. They're always looking for opportunities to gather data about you. They're not about, tell you what, have this application, it'll work in a sandbox and it'll store it on a folder on your hard drive and that'll be the end of it. They don't do any of that kind of stuff.
That's exactly what they do.
Unless you have Comcast.
What do they do then, Greeny? Go on.
Listen. Right, okay, so we've got this Google Online thing, right, which you've said.
Don't worry about it. I can edit this. Go on.
Right. Gee, bastard. Then we've got the situation where you haven't got an internet connection and Google do allow for this. Now there's offline Google Mail, right? And offline Google Docs, which is still in its infancy, but it does exist. And the point being is when you reconnect to the internet, it synchronizes the two parts.
So it's not offline.
It is offline.
It's not. It's just waiting for a connection.
It's waiting. The whole point of have it is to sync. So I agree.
Online is it's offline is that it's mine, and that's there's nothing that Google do that's mine.
Yeah, Google Drive. The stuff is on your computer. It's not online. It's synchronized. It's like the old iDisk.
Is it on my computer so I can find it, open it through a Finder process of sorts or a Windows Explorer kind of thing? It's not an encrypted sandbox?
It's Google Drive. So we're talking about two things, but they're sort of connected. So we've got offline Google Apps, right? And we've got Google Drive, which, if we're talking about the Mac, is a folder basically that you can drag things to, and it's actually on your Mac. It's not on the cloud, it's on your Mac. And then you can, if you're on the cloud and somebody shares something with you, you can then install that document to your Google Drive, which is offline.
Let's define this then. The question I think is, can you press a button which says do not sync any of this data. Because then you, and that gives you the option to say, I can use this on my machine separately.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't, then back to Will, it's not offline.
It's interesting how the referee steps in.
So I should have had the whistle, shouldn't I?
It is offline. You can't. So the stuff is on your computer.
But Will, if there's an option to say, do not sync this with the cloud when I'm back on the network, then fine, I agree with you. But if there isn't, then I kind of tend to agree with Ewan.
You've got to be fair to Google. I mean, yeah, they're an online company.
I'm not saying they're a bunch of arseholes. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that let's be really careful about what Google giveth and what Google taketh away.
But I made it clear what they do. You can work offline if you need to, and you work online. And yes, they synchronize. And now, I will so...
Well, we're giving you a red card.
Well, I'm not. That's it now.
Will,
I've had it.
Willie's here.
I'm going to talk about rubber chickens next time. I'm not bringing intellectual.
That was a good conversation. That was a debate, boy.
It was a good conversation.
Right. That was a proper debate.
You didn't agree with me, so no, it's not good.
Such is the nature of debating, dude.
Right. All right, then.
We may not kiss at the end, but it doesn't mean we don't respect each other.
Anyway, the point is.
You can always have a wallow in the mud.
I thought it was an interesting purchase for Google to purchase QuickOffice to create a local-based productivity tool that will then, I would imagine, this is what I'm thinking.
And I agree with you.
And then we'll synchronize with your Google Drive in the cloud.
I agree with you entirely on that bit, yes. Absolutely.
And also, it hasn't come out yet, but Google did promise that they're bringing Google Drive to the iPad as well. It's not here yet, but it's coming, I'm sure.
Okay. Thanks, mate. That was a good conversation. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Right. Yeah. Mm.
See, so that bloke, what's that bloke's name?
All of the Apple fanboys are now being interrupted by the Google fanboy.
I'm not a Google fanboy. Oh, dear.
He sent out the fly on the line and you took it, Will.
Yeah, I know, Will.
Apple have confirmed, allegedly, through tech.
Apple. That's all we talk about on this.
Do you want to start a Google podcast for us, Greeny?
No, I don't know that much about it, to be honest.
call
it British Tech G.
I don't get this confirmation bit, but they're saying confirm new iPhone is going to have a 19-pin mini connector. It's not a micro USB. It is a mini 30-pin to 19-pin connector. I mean, I don't get this. Anyone else?
Thunder chicken.
You think it's a mini Thunderbolt?
No.
I don't know.
No, really?
No, because, to do that, they'd have to have a Thunderbolt controller in the iPhone. I mean, that's going to take up room on the logic board that there really isn't room for.
Yeah.
Why would they do it on the iPhone? Why would they have a Thunder chip on the iPhone?
No. Speed of syncing.
I mean, your backup would happen in like 5 seconds instead of 5 minutes.
Well, it can't be.
But you do it over Wi-Fi now anyway, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Yeah, I do.
Well, the other thought I had initially was the fact that if they've gone for a smaller connector, I would be sitting thinking, well, that's going to limit their ability to do video out if you were using it for presentations, etc., say on a projector or something like that. But Apple is then probably throwing most of what it's got at AirPlay at the moment as well. So why would you do that anyway? I mean, all you're going to be doing is syncing data through this cable, surely. There's nothing else going to happen through this. There's no video going down it. There's no...
I know what it is.
Go on.
It's for, no, I figured
it's
it out.
It's an
for
Apple
us
TV.
To all buy new freaking cables.
Yeah, because a company that's got $115 billion sat in the bank doing absolutely sod all because 70% is overseas really needs to sell you an extra cable.
They want.
They love it, though, don't they?
They need to sell me an extra cable. And when we buy the new damn phone, we'll need an extra cable.
Look, the Apple cable department has got to make its money somewhere.
Head of Apple cable development.
Yeah, we've got.
There's two people in the department.
They've got a say in the design as well, you know.
And they're both Scrooge McDuck.
Let's keep in mind that the dock has been around for 10 years.
Yes.
And if you look at the comparison photo that's on this TechCrunch post, you can see the benefit to Apple to making that thing smaller.
Yeah, but that's so you can put the earphone socket at the bottom. I really don't want the earphone socket at the bottom because it's not going to fit in my car anymore.
I agree with that. But, I mean, you can make the speakers or the microphone bigger. I mean, there's all kinds of things. I mean, Apple went to this MagSafe 2 connector on the new machines. And it's, I mean, it's just ever so slightly thinner than the original. I mean, there's no reason Apple couldn't have put the original MagSafe connector on this new Retina MacBook Pro, but they did. And I think the reason isn't just this machine. I think it's more forward thinking that they actually plan to go even thinner on future machines. And if everybody already has these thinner adapters, it won't be as big of a deal. I think there are some good reasons for Apple to do this.
I want to know what Don
thinks. It's going to be a pain in the ass for everyone that's got to get cables. They're going to have to get new, you know, there's going to be new dock speaker things and all kinds of other stuff. It's going to be a pain for the accessory makers. It's going to be a pain. But at some point, if they just simply keep sticking with it because it's going to be a pain for everyone else, you know, Apple wouldn't be putting Thunderbolt and dropping FireWire on their new machines.
The accessory makers will love it because it'll mean they can come out with a new product which they can charge a very nice high price for.
I always get worried when Don McAllister goes quiet. I want to know what Don thinks, and that's where my money's going. Go on, Don.
Well, I don't think it's going to be just a simple micro USB connector. I think they'll need to have some special data pins in there for audio and for video and for things that we don't even sort of realize are thinking about as yet. Because it's still, and again, it's been weird with the iPhone. I did expect to see a lot more integration with the current iPhones with third-party manufacturers, you know, slotting them into cars, etc. Whether or not the 30-pin connector has been a problem in that respect, you know, people either haven't wanted to go with the licensing fees that they have, or there's a technical limitation with the 30-pin connector. I don't know, but you know, it's definitely going to be a proprietary. Excuse the ice cream van as it goes past. It's definitely going to be a proprietary connector that they can sort of get into the, you know, transmit data of all different sorts across the different devices.
Was that Meals on Wheels?
No, it was the ice cream van.
It was the drawing room.
So that's my theory.
Drobo have come out with a Thunder Chicken device that comes and takes four 2.5 terabyte drives and is supposedly 2.5 inch drives.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. And is supposedly portable, but based unless that person is an incredibly small hand, doesn't look that portable. And they've also come out with a 5D, which is a 4-bay. And 5-bay option, which is Thunder Chicken as well as. Don, when do yours arrive?
Well, they're out in July, so we'll have to see. But I've got Drobos. I've got the big Drobo Pro, which is okay, but it's a bit big, bit bulky. It's only FireWire and eSATA as well, and that's not the speediest connectors. I've got a really old Drobo as well, which. To be honest, I haven't actually switched on for a while. So I think I might be in the, you know, Thunderbolt, fast, new architecture. Might give, because it's also different as well. They've got this integrated SSD as well. You can buy an SSD drive and pop that underneath the Drobo, and that turns it into one of these hybrid drives. So you get
I thought you were going to say stop it wobbling.
No.
That's what I'm waiting for too. Oh no, it's just it's over in the corner. It's just gathering dust, you know. It's old.
Previously, I used it to stop the door open, but now.
Anyway, you also get the Thunderbolt cable.
I now use it as a step.
Don's not coming back on either.
See what happens, Don, when you get a new Retina display.
Backlash.
And you go on and you tweet about it and all that. See.
We've got a picture of Mrs. Forsman. There she is, look.
No. It's a dog walker.
Oh, okay. Does your wife know? Dude, we're taking the Mickey out of Don McAllister for having a butler, and you've got someone who walks your frigging dog. You can't even be bothered to do that yourself.
They're not my dogs. First of all.
Well, why are you keeping someone else's dog in your house?
They're my girlfriend's dogs.
Oh, man. Your side of the bed, her side of the bed. You're in deep poop tonight.
Yeah.
They're
not my dogs.
You're in spare room, sunshine. Trust me, there's a hierarchy in your apartment. It's your missus, her dogs, then you.
Then the dog,
the dog walker, then Chris.
And then the dog walker, then you. You haven't figured it out yet, though. You're still thinking that you're number one. Mm-mm. No, you're not.
I'm number one with me, and that's all that really matters.
No, definitely not. I got to say, a Drobo for Thunder Chicken doesn't appeal to me. I've only ever lost data once, and it was thanks to Drobo. So,
and there's your endorsement.
And they gave me my money. They gave me my money back. Because I complained to tell everyone if I didn't. So
I've kind of been breaching. Don't worry, I got
the money back. Don's got,
I might be in breach of contract there. Stocks. But never mind.
No, no.
Don's got
no,
old
no.
stock. Sales down to you. Half no. price.
Not in. Not
little
in
dust.
Don, you have got stock, Don. You just told us. You don't. You haven't turned it on for ages.
Oh, that. That's,
now that one. Yeah. Oh, that one.
That one.
That's sort of stock.
That's the original Drobo, the four drive Drobo. It's a bit long in the tooth.
Don's wife's got a set of kitchen steps with Drobo Pros all lashed together with cable ties. For getting out the top cupboard. Tough ones.
Don, we love you. It's been nice to have you on the show for how many months now?
Next Apple keynote is scheduled probably for September. So the bad news is you've got this for another 3 months. Bad luck. No news. Making it up. Apparently, according to this picture, Apple staff are going into musicals. They're doing a production of something. It looks a bit. That photo's not really right, is it?
No.
There's a certain
the whole thing isn't right.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
It's just a bit too theatre, love. Apple employees are going to get $500 off Macs and $250 off iPads. Now, Will, you used to be employed by Apple, didn't you?
Yes, yes.
Are you allowed to still say that, or are you still under NDA?
No. I did corporate and I did retail. I was both.
Non-disclosure.
Is that like Black Ops and General Missions? Or no.
So what's the question?
So, I mean, did they ever give you any stuff free?
Oh, yeah, I got my first iPhone for free.
And what about prices off? Did they just get the standard student discount, 15%?
Employers got significant discounts. can I say that? I don't know. Well, I can, really.
Yeah, go on.
But, yeah, no. I know it's a really, really significant discounts.
Significant being?
Free?
Well, they can't get me now, can they?
No!
50% off software, and I think it was something like 25% off hardware.
That's pretty good.
We need to go work for Apple.
Well, I'm trying to figure out the maths here, because it might actually be worth it. Because the amount, most of my income goes on Apple equipment.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I signed up for a course. I did a one-year course as a postgraduate degree in law, and the money I saved on equipment in the Apple store paid for the course.
That says something about your purchasing habits, though, doesn't it, rather than
I saved £3,300 that year.
But yeah. Wow. I got to say, I worked for Apple for years and years, and I'm not kissing their ass or anything like that, but they're one of the best employees I've ever had. They were brilliant. Really good.
I've heard a lot of people say that's the case.
Yeah, that's absolutely superb. They really look after their employees. And not just, I mean, yeah, it's great to get money off a Mac, but it's not, you know, beyond that. Share options, pensions, healthcare, everything. Really, really good.
Well, you don't hear of a high turnover of staff at Apple, do you? And that, you know, that says a lot, I think.
It's almost as if you feel honoured. It's almost that sort of a feeling. You feel almost honoured to work for Apple. Obviously, every corporate has got, there's annoying sort of procedures in place, but beyond that, that applies to every corporate. Absolutely fantastic. Can't say a bad word against them.
Have you ever got anything from Apple from free? Storm in the chat room says T-shirts. Very good. And Super Chicken says, did he work for Skunk Works? No, that's the dog.
No, I got my first iPhone. The iPhone 1 was given to me. I mean, every sort of new version of iPods you get, and all sorts of really generous.
Good. Anyone got anything else that they want to talk about? Apple fined in Australia over the 4G iPad claims?
Boring.
Boring.
Yeah, it's a bit boring.
Unjustified as well, actually. They've been fined $2.29 million Australian dollars, which I think is probably about $12,000. But.
They took that out of the change of the, you know, in the canteen.
No, I mean, I think that's a bit harsh, because that's still $1.8 million, $1.7 million,
something like that. Yeah, something like that.
That's too hefty for saying it's got a 4G wireless. It just doesn't have to be in your country. Then,
yeah, well, actually, that is surprising, because they were sued. What was it, $1 million in Italy, because of that warranty statement? And to me, that seems to be a bigger faux pas than this one.
Yeah, but you're saying they were sued. This is a prosecution. This is a fine, isn't it? So,
I think that was a fine in Italy as well, wasn't it?
Oh, right.
Yeah, some kind of regulatory thing.
Yeah, well, it was down to the warranty. They were kind of they had to change the warranty statements in Europe because of the 2-year warranty status. But it was taken to court in Italy, and they were fined in Italy, and they tried to push back, but basically were fined about, I think it was $1 million. And this is higher, which the warranty statement on all EV products seems to be a higher issue than the fact that you're claiming of 4G, which is still debated as to whether it's an accurate statement or isn't an accurate statement in Australia, because they're all complaining in Australia that 4G is not very ubiquitous anyway.
Last story then. I've been saving this one till last because I wanted to keep Don's focus on the show rather than being off on with his credit card out. Apparently, the new Retina MacBook Pro runs 4 screens quite happily. And there's a picture that was shown on The Verge of 4 screens being run off one Retina MacBook Pro. Don, how many Apple displays do you own?
At the moment...
God.
You've daisy chained 6, haven't you?
No, but I've just got a second 27-inch Thunderbolt display.
Get that one quiet.
Well, I need to test it, you see. No, I'm redoing the studio.
It's a business expense.
The studio's getting revamped, so yeah. I was so impressed with this first one. It's really nice.
I bought the company.
I'm bought a second one. And it's sitting in a box in the hole.
I like the Retina display so much, I bought the company. Thank you, Victor.
I suppose it had to come out one day, but it's out in the open now. I can...
You know, one of these days, it's not going to surprise me one bit to walk into a Liverpool store and actually see Don behind the Genius counter.
No, you go into the Liverpool store and they go, sorry, mate, no stock left. It's all down Don's. Yeah. No, we came in the other week with a shopping trolley. We're finished.
Well, I am downsizing, though. I'm downsizing from 3 monitors to 2. So I've got my 2 old Dell 19-inch monitors, and they're going. So I'm just going to have the 227.
His wife wanted a bathroom mirror, so we've made it out of iPads for him. There's 400 across one wall. Like, she just looks forward, and then she sees herself 400 times.
You've been practicing that Liverpool accent, haven't you?
Oh, I.
You're better than I can.
No worries, mate. I was better than bloody greenies.
What
a lot.
What do you mean better than greenies?
Go on, do your Liverpool accent for us then. Go on, greenie. Go on.
All right, I can do it.
Go on.
Hello, this is Don McAllister. Not the lot.
Oh,
that's bang on, that is.
It is.
Bang on.
Bang on. Oh, dear.
This podcast takes up a lot of bandwidth. Apparently people
now
listen.
You know why.
we had a bit of a week last week. The Mac Show did 92,000 downloads, which I can't get over it. It's unbelievable. We've done so far this month, we've done 18 terabytes off the server, and we've still got another 10 days to go. 9 days. That bandwidth is picked up entirely by UK2.net. They've been sponsoring us for 3 years. They're absolutely brilliant. And you really, really need to support them. Otherwise, we just disappear from the airwaves. I can't afford that kind of bandwidth. It just doesn't happen. I think the server that we would need off them is something like £300 a month to keep up with all the stuff that we do. It's absolutely superb. Please, please, please support them. Go to our website first, BritishTechNetwork.com, and then click through on their advert to go through to their web pages. If you do that, we get the credit for having sent you, even if you're a returning customer. And also, we get the credit if you use the offer codes. Now, if you don't do that, they'll honour the offer codes. That's fine. But we won't get the kudos for having sent you. We don't get a penny from you. They just pick up all the bandwidth and keep the website going for us. But they're a fabulous, fabulous bunch. Please support them. There's offer codes there. You can get 20% off domains. You can get all of your DNS management free. You can get a site builder for £2 a month. It's just, there's phenomenal stuff there. So go along to the website, britishtechnetwork.com, click on their link. You'll get the codes, put them in. Don't put your payment information in before you hit return on the keyboard when you're putting the codes in. Put the code in first, hit return. Put the next code in, hit return. Put the next code in, hit return, and it'll slowly change your basket, and then put your payment information in. Okay, UK2.net, thanks ever so much for your sponsorship. We need to keep you going. The other one is TechSmith as well, because TechSmith have been supporting us just here and there with licenses and things like that for giveaway, for competition. And Gaz has been doing his tips in the last few weeks using Camtasia 2. And they've supported us by sponsoring the Bash in 2 weeks' time. The British Tech Bash is taking place, and TechSmith are the official sponsors. They are buying all the food, all the beer, and keeping us afloat for that day. And the fantastic Betsy Weber, thank you ever so much. She's the lady who's organised it all for us, who works at TechSmith. Again, please support their products, because they've looked after us a lot this year as well as, and they're going to keep feeding us licences for giveaways and that kind of thing, and they're going to keep feeding us food, actually, funny enough. If you want to come to the Bash, it's in 2 weeks' time. This show in 2 weeks will be done. Everyone will be there. We'll all be talking about no news from Apple, and it'll be having fun in the sun. Maybe it's in the rain, but who cares? We'll still have fun. It's the British Tech Bash, and if you want a ticket, you do need a ticket. It's britishtechbash.eventbrite.co.uk. You must get a ticket. Go there, register. £20 gets you a ticket, and you can come here, and everything after that is free. It will be fantastic. There is a band coming. James Hart is coming with his mate, and we're going to have a bit of skiffle or something like that, and it'll just be fun all day. I've got loads of mics, and we'll see what happens, eh? Go with the flow. British Tech Network.
Don will be bringing his 92 iPads, and we can have a garage band feast.
Yeah, what we're going to do is set up a water slide, and Don's going to bring an iPad as a tea tray for us all, and we're going to scoot down it, and everyone gets to keep their tea tray at the end of the day. There you go.
Are you going to have Skype out there? Because unfortunately, as everyone probably knows now, I can't make it out there.
Yeah, you'll be on, mate. Don't worry. We've sussed it all out. It'll be fine.
A virtual ticket. I'll purchase one of those virtual tickets, please.
Yeah, we've got a really nice surprise for people that attend. If you come to the Bash, there's a fantastic surprise for you. So make sure you come. You can't get it if you're not here. You'll be listening. Thanks. And you'll know that you missed out, because you won't be getting it unless you're there.
Thank you for telling me.
I'll try and dial in from the Grand Prix, Ewan. How about that?
Stuff the Grand Prix. It's British Grand Prix. It's going to rain.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's qualifying. No, it's not even qualifying. It's practice. You're missing the Bash by going to practice. It's not even the thing.
Oh, there'll be more beer there.
No, I doubt that. The Mead's arrived as well, by the way. It came this morning.
Oh,
Cyberpool said, "Is Missy going to be naked?" No, she's not, dude. That's not the surprise. Because that obviously is the first thing you'd think about. Right, getting back on track. This is where I have to insert Gazzy's video on the tip. So, go on then, Gaz. What's your tip, mate?
Okay, right. So, do you remember how you could make small, very precise incremental changes to your brightness and audio volume in Snow Leopard?
No.
By holding down the Option key? Well, you could, you see. Well, a lot of people thought it actually disappeared in Lion. Aha, it turns out you can still make those little quarter incremental changes in Lion with a keyboard shortcut, which is Option Shift. And if you're doing your brightness on a big standard keyboard, you'll find that it's probably F1 and F2, certainly in the UK. So if you go Option Shift, press F1 and F2, it will adjust the brightness on your screen incrementally, quarter increments rather than the full increment. And equally, if you do it on your sound, on the volume controls.
You've just blown Greeny's mind. Say that again for him.
Okay, press Option and Shift, and either F1 and F2, which then adjust the, if you've got a full keyboard, because some of the keyboards it could be different, but if you've got an adjustment of your brightness controls, Shift and Option and Shift, and then press those brightness controls or the volume controls, and the volume or the brightness will change incrementally in quarters rather than the full. You see, you get the square on your screen.
That is a great tip.
It is. Okay.
A great tip. Oh my God! I lost my screen.
I can't help you on that.
Yeah, he's been holding that down since you started, and it's gone down in quarters.
Okay, so and here's a quick tip, which I wasn't going to give this week, but Will said something at the start. Now, you all know that when you hold the command key, when you move a file, if you want to move a file, you hold the command key, and then you click on that particular file while holding the command key, and then you put it into a different location, perhaps in a different Finder window or into a different folder.
And it moves it.
And it moves it. Okay, well, what happens if you press Command C and you copy that file, you get to your new location, and you suddenly realize, actually, that you wanted to move it? So this could be deemed almost like a copy and paste, or a cut and paste. Well, if you press Option Command V, it will actually move that file rather than just copy it into that new location.
Ah, very good. Storm in the chat room says, Gaz, you know that thing you never used in Leopard? Well, there's a different way to never use it in Lion.
I use it all the time.
Spot on, mate. No, I didn't even know it existed. Well done.
I didn't know that either. I'll use that all the time now.
There you go.
Brilliant. Sweet. Great.
Oh, by the way, Will, that's Alt Control Delete for you.
Can I address something at this point?
Oh, go on, Ingrid. What's up, mate?
Well, right, I've been using Macs, as I say, for like almost 20 years, right? Open the Finder window. This isn't a tip. This is a question more.
Mm-hmm.
Open the Finder window. Go to your desktop, for instance. I've got an image here called Bags. I select it. Don't ask me why I got an image called Bags.
Okay, moving on.
Then go edit. Now, why can I not cut that? Why is cut? I have never, ever been able to cut and paste using...
I've just given you the Apple way of doing it, Will.
Yeah, but what's the point of having the word cut and the shortcut saying Command and X? It never works. It doesn't...
I'm not defending them here, but they probably refer to that. If you highlight some text in edit, you can probably then cut. That option then appears. But if you're talking about a file, they probably think you don't initially want to cut a file. I don't know, I'm guessing.
Well, because the Finder, you don't do text in the Finder. You do text in
what I'm saying is if you go to a text edit document, for example, and highlight some text, that option then suddenly appears. You know, if you flip from the Finder window into a text edit or a document and then highlight some text, you'll see that that option suddenly appears. So perhaps they think that a cut option in the Finder window against your files is a bad idea. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
Don, do you know?
What Gaz said.
Ditto.
Yeah, no, because, I mean, it's probably safer... they always say it's safer to actually move, well, to copy a file, make sure the copy is finished and then delete it rather than to actually just move a file, because sort of in that intervening process when it's moving from one location to another, if something happens, you might lose your data.
Well, Leopard had that glitch, didn't it, where it for a few weeks before they corrected it, you click move, and if it failed, it would clear it, and now it doesn't.
Yeah. So I suppose it could be a similar thing for the cut and paste, you know, but always better to make a copy of the file and then delete the original rather than...
So you don't know either, then? That's what you're trying to say, isn't it?
No, I don't.
No, it's just not a feature that they've implemented.
What Gaz said. Have we got any cool things? Don, what would you like to give us as your cool thing?
Oh, go on. One of my favourite applications, which has just been updated, Text Expander. It's now Text Expander 4. Which it's got some extra new snippet features in there. You know, the fill-in snippets have all changed now, so you can have like pop-up boxes and multi-line fill-in snippets. Really, really nice. Interestingly, they're coming out of the App Store. The current version 3 is in the Mac App Store, but because of the sandboxing requirements that Apple have now, they can't put Text Expander 4 into the Mac App Store. Mm. But they've put a process in place whereby if you have bought it in the Mac App Store, you can still upgrade to the external version. When you install the new version, it senses that you've already got it, and if it's after a certain date, you get a free upgrade. If it's before a certain date, you can just pay the upgrade fee. But Text Expander 4 is from Smile Software.
Price?
I think it's $15 to upgrade. It's free if you bought it after January this year. If you bought it before January this year, it's $15 to upgrade.
Apparently, the chat room suggesting that the show title should be What Gaz Said. Very good. Mr. Swagger.
My cool thingy this week, actually, I bought this last weekend and I've been addicted to it. It's called X-Plane for iPad. I love this thing. I spent $10 on this app and it's been worth... I know. It's amazing, isn't it? They've got so many planes in here. It's a flight simulation software. And there's even the space shuttle on here. And it's just... If you're not into these games where it's like, you know, shoot them down in the ocean, you know, these type of fighter jet, and you just want a simulation, it's a great piece of software. It's a great app, and you really feel like, you know, with the iPad, with the accelerometer in it and everything, it's just hours and hours of fun. Personally, for me, I mean, some people might find it boring. Some of the I was trying to get into the some of the planes here. Like, unfortunately, it doesn't want to select. But so yeah, that's $10 down the drain, isn't it? And so
is it just pictures of planes and helicopters then?
Yeah, that's just
no. You actually fly well. He's crashed it.
Yeah, I've crashed it.
It's got stage fright.
There I am. Okay, so you can hear, and it has cockpit and all that. And you have to be the one that actually flies the plane. You have to put up the gear. You have to. None of it's done for you, except for the space shuttle one, where it's a sort of a simulation where it gets you up, and then you got to get the reentry just right. I think it's 90 degrees or whatever, or you burn up. God knows I've died so many times on this thing. It's amazing I'm actually here today. But if you've got $10 to spend and you love flight simulation, I cannot recommend it any more than this one.
Okay.
It's great. The only thing is, I wish they would update it for the Retina display. It's not updated yet for the Retina display. It's so it doesn't look quite as good on the
Apparently, new according to Teresa in the chat room, they're having a sale at the moment, so there's a new one coming. That's why you've got it cheap.
Thank you, Teresa.
There was another point when here. Yeah, Storm says, that was nearly as good as Microsoft Surface demo. Mr. Forsman, what have you got for us as a cool thing?
I'm going to tell it. Well, switch my mic back on here. Okay.
You're on.
Yeah, the Retina MacBook Pro, folks. You need to go get one.
That's it. Simple message.
That's all I need to know.
I got a call from Tim Cook. He says, for God's sake, pick this week. Sales are low.
Yeah. No, they're not. But, I mean, I cannot rave about the screen enough. It's like night and day. I honestly, when I go back to my old MacBook Air, I can't even stand looking at it.
We're going to feel the same way next week as well, mate, because you're going to go back to being jerky crap.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, dude, I can count your freckles from here.
And just so you know, Chris Forsman's credit card number is 12095355785.
Got that good, buddy?
expiration date December of this year.
Mr. Green, do you have a cool thing?
I'm still thinking about how I can make a re-entry. No, what was it?
don't.
At 90 degrees.
Don't. Move on. For God's sake, move on.
It's important.
This is a re-entry. This is a re-entry free show.
Okay, yeah, we'll move on. Re-entries. My pick. Is a game I bought probably about 10 or 15 years ago now. It's called Dracula Resurrection. It's a bit like Dracula Re-entry, or what was it called? What did you just say? Dracula, no.
90 degree re-entry. Go on.
Nothing to do with Dracula, though, was it?
Oh, for God's sake, do the pick.
It's quarter to 11,
come on.
No, look. Stop interrupting me. I'm trying to do a pick here.
All right, mate.
Yeah, you're just making it.
Get
longer.
On.
Here's the original thingy, the CD cover, and the system requirements is G3 or an iMac, and I loved this game, and I never finished it, and now it's available on the App Store. They've ported it, so that's about it, really. It's a Dracula game. It's a Dracula game available on the App Store.
So you just run around biting people, or are you trying to find Dracula and kill him?
It's an old-fashioned sort of 90s point-and-click thing.
Yep.
But back in the day, you had to keep swapping the bloody CDs over when you went from various... and when you went to cutscenes, the old CD drive sort of...
Is it a bit Seventh Guest?
it's better. It's really atmospheric. It's a really good sort of adventure-y point and click style game. That's it, really. Dracula game.
Okay. DraculaGame.com.
£6.99.
Great.
Dracula Resurrection.
Gaz, you've done a tip, but do you want a thing or not?
I could do, yeah. I mean, we was on holiday in a lighthouse at Portland Bill a couple of weeks ago, and I suddenly realised that I didn't have a 360 panorama photographic app, and I bought 360 panorama, and it's a cracking little app. I'll send you a link, but it's been out quite a long time. It's about 69 pence, I think, in the App Store. It's got a grid, and it's quite easy to take a panoramic shot with it. And if you take your time, it can come out with some really clear images, and it'll upload it up to the web. You can send that link to people, and they can scroll around using their browser. Superb app.
Excellent.
I meant 40 degrees? Can I just say I meant 40 degrees?
That's why you're dying, dude. You're 45 degrees out of line.
We can combine the two. Mine could be Dracula Res Erection.
Oh, no.
What do you think?
Oh, my. Yeah, it could be.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I've been trying to say that since Will's pick.
I haven't got a Mac pick as such, but I've just got a T-shirt back that I've got for next week's bash in 2 weeks' time. And Zazzle.
Did you hear about the Dracula game?
No.
Awesome.
Yeah, cool. Zazzle.
40 degrees.
Zazzle.com, and you buy T-shirts on there. And we used to have a shop on Spreadshirt. And when you got the shirts back, they were always kind of like, well, I'm sure you could do better than that. It didn't look very good. It wasn't, the whites weren't white and things like that. Zazzle, the quality of the print on the shirt that's come back is fantastic, and I'll be wearing the shirt at the bash in a couple of weeks. It's superb. There's also going to be artwork for the mash as well. We've got Paul Kirkle, who drew the Queen and Andy and Atco picture there. He's drawn two other pictures that as well that he's going to be giving away, and again, some of the proceeds from that are going to go to NSPCC. So we've got a bit of a charity fest on as well that week. So there we go. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. McAllister?
Right, find me over at screencastonline.com or on my blog at themaxscreencastguy.com or on the Twitters as Don McAllister.
Good man. Mr. McAllister, Mr. Swagger even? Don't.
No, okay. Whatever. You can find me on Twitter, Kyle Swagger 1G, of course, or kyleswagger.com at a 40-degree angle.
I think any more than that and we have to bleep it. Mr. Forsman.
I've got the moves like Swagger. I've got the moves like Swagger.
I could have sworn he said moobs then.
Moobs like Swagger, yeah.
Moobs. I've got moobs like Swagger. of course.
I like so many titles.
You can read my super mega awesome best ever written Retina MacBook Pro review on ArsTechna.com, which you should run out immediately and do. And then you can talk to me about it on Twitter at ForzMac.
Right, yeah, good man, thank you. Do read your column because it is good. Greeny, where are you, mate?
BritishMac.com is my own podcast, and also mention my employers who are graciously paying for my time to be here, which is stoneburn.com, cloud computing.
Good man, thank you to Stoneburn for letting you come, mate, and provide us with your tangents. We love them. We love them, love them, love them.
Even the one that hangs lower than the other.
For that person that left that that review, this will never be a tangent-free zone. I promise you. As long as Greeny breathes air, there will be tangents. And last but not least, my name is Gaz.
Nice and easy. On the Twitters, twitter.com/Gazmaz, G-A-Z-M-A-Z, or Gazmaz.com, which is still on MobileMe servers, so I need to move it soon.
Yeah, there's a question actually about MobileMe servers that someone sent through in the last couple of weeks and said, would UK2 be able to do anything? And the answer is yes, they certainly could, because they can get you a site and they can host it, and it's dead easy. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I've got. My own personal site's all on UK2. Our website's in UK2, and I update my own, and I'm no web tech at all. Don, you could do a how-to, couldn't you? How to get your web up on...
Like I did about 6 weeks ago, you mean?
Yeah, I was going to stun it.
Look at that, you see?
Yeah, he's here all week.
UK2.net as part of that as well.
So. Yeah, see?
There you go.
Just
search for web on the site. You'll see all the web-related screencasts. And the last one I did, oh, do a search for Mobile Me. You'll get that. I'll get the most recent ones. And you can see all the migration ones that I've put up.
Brilliant. Don so Pops, he doesn't even do your own podcast anymore, do you, mate?
You get another bloke to do it. Last week, because it was poorly.
So. He does a bit of a croaky voice and then says that this other bloke's going to do it now. And he gets in his portion.
That was the first time. That's the first time since I started. I think I did it. I had some guest podcasters on the first 6 months, and I've done it all myself since then. But no, that was just a one-off because I had nothing prepared and I wasn't well enough to do it. So a guy called from the US stepped in. He did a very good job as well.
He did a really good job, actually. I thought really good.
Good.
Excellent. We shall see you next week. We'll be back. Well, there'll be 1 week to go to the bash. It'll be absolutely fantastic. See you then. Thanks for watching.
I'm burning up on...